This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Philip C and welcome to The Breakfast Grill. On today's Breakfast Grill, we are in conversation with Dato' Wira Amir Maidin, MD of Maidin Mohammad Holdings Berhad and President of Bumiputra Retailers Organization, as well as advisor of the Federation of Malaysian Business Association. As we get a pulse on the ground on how retail has been faring 1 month since the country has reopened and as we head into the Raya weekend. A very good morning here, Dato'. How are you doing?
Fine. Excited.
Excited.
Raya is coming. Yay.
Well, this Raya will most certainly be very different from the past two Rayas for sure, isn't it? I mean, the mood on the ground surely must be joyous. So are you seeing revenge spending?
It took me a long time to get home yesterday. Is that bad? Traffic has started to be, you know, very, very heavy. It's supposed to be like 4 million vehicles are going to go back this Raya. More than the usual Raya going back, right? So, For the last 2-3 weeks, business is booming. I mean, finally, we see light end of the tunnel. I hope. So business is booming everywhere. Everywhere is booming. Retail is booming. F&B is booming. Although it's fasting month, it's still booming. You know, I was at a Mama restaurant, because don't ask me why, yesterday at midnight. That place also was packed. You know,
so when you say booming, right, are you saying booming even way exceeding your expectations at pre-pandemic levels, like even much higher than where we were before the pandemic?
No, I think we are going back to pre-pandemic.
Okay.
But because why it feels booming? Because we haven't had this boom for 2 years. So everything seems so exciting, you know?
Yeah.
So I think this is the thing. Business is going back to 2019 pre-pandemic level. I think that's the thing.
You see that.
Footfall
now,
has gone
clear.
Back to 2019. Slightly higher maybe, because it's Raya now, of course. But it's also slightly higher compared to the 2019 Raya.
Yeah, because it's just 2 years of pent-up demand, isn't it? That is why you see this volume. And you look at, you know, look at your business, right, in Maidin. Which are the product categories that are doing exceptionally well and which ones are still not yet picking up?
Everything under the sun is being bought. Everything. You know, because people just need to buy because they need to go back, they need to give. And, you know, Biscuit Raya is flying off the shelf. There's no biscuits in the market. why, we can discuss about it. Why? But anyway, biscuits, there's a massive shortage, you know. Baju Raya, people are picking up, you know, everything. And the main thing also, of course, is that a lot of CSR activities going back, right? I mean, you know, all the NGOs are back because now they can finally do what they want to do. You know, they want to help. I mean, a lot of people like to help the poor, the needy. So we see a lot of CSR activities. We see a lot of big organizations buying from us, asking us to send goods to all over Malaysia.
This booming business you talk about, you felt it when? Just 2-3 weeks ago or even like longer than that?
I would say about a month.
So exactly, since the announcement of the reopening of borders and even reopening of the economy, then you saw that recovery.
And the KWSP. 40 billion bucks makes a lot of difference in the economy. You know?
I think that's one of the biggest concerns, isn't it? That the question here is whether this boom you see now, whether you can sustain it. After Raya, will you be able to keep those levels going? That is the concern. Because as you say, it's fueled by debt. It's fueled by withdrawals from EPF.
And that is the concern, because when you look at the data, you know, you would expect the B40 to withdraw the money. But we see the M40, there were, I think, 46 or 50% withdrawal rate for even for the M40. This is dangerous. That means at M40 level, you need that 10,000 ringgit. And there were also withdrawals at T20. That actually shocked me. I said, at T20, why would you want to take out $10,000? That's your savings, better return than you can get outside, right? But there was a withdrawal of that. So this is scary, actually, that there is a shortage of money. The purchasing power might just drop tremendously right after Raya, or maybe a week. You know, you still have Balik Kampung,
yes.
After that, you know, open house kind of thing. So that goes on for another 2 weeks, right? And after that, this is where the concern is, that business might just go down. I hope the government is aware. There is a government there out there. So I hope they're aware. They're keeping track. And what is the next step? We always don't hear what's going to happen fast enough. That the planning is always not fast enough.
What are the signs for us to see the weakness? Is it going to be at your tills, at the grocery stores, when you start seeing the pressure there?
We are always the first one to feel it. We'll always be the first one. Now, we will notice the footfalls. We will notice, even though there's a footfall, we will notice the purchasing power. the basket goes down very fast.
Well, it's interesting you talk about the basket and purchasing power, and you made a very interesting reference that this isn't only an issue of the B40, it's not even an issue of the M40, it also touches T20 as well. This concern of our spend reliant on government stimulus is affecting all segments of society, isn't it?
And rely on government subsidies to contain inflation. This is also a very dangerous trend.
But the reality is that we don't think that the government can support anymore. We had, during the pandemic, so many stimulus packages, right? I don't think the government can afford another package, isn't it? So what can the government practically do?
A right-thinking government should do something. But currently, you know, politics outweighs everything. Sentiments or votes outweighs what you should be doing. We just hope and pray we don't become a Sri Lanka.
Hold that thought, right? Because I know you mean right thinking, meaning with the right intentions. You also know that the government's public finances are relatively stretched. What do you think, if you were in the shoes of the government, can they do?
They can always put GST back. This is a very, actually the right thing to do. I mean, all economists will agree this is the right thing to do to help government financing and also balance, the people who spend more pay more, which is the right thing to do. But there's a bitter political pill that no right politician would take.
I wonder whether the trend you will see and the concern you have post-Raya, because now it's so joyous, you see the boom, right, as you said, so evident, that when borders reopen, Malaysians actually will start shifting from spending in Malaysia to actually travelling overseas and using their budgets and wallets to spend and do more travel. Do you think that will affect spend in Malaysia then?
That's why I think it's very important that we open up faster than anybody else. I mean, I understand we want to be cautious, you know, but cautious can cost us a lot of money. We can be very slow in many things, right? If our neighbors are opening up, we should open up. We just have to follow that risk. But our main concern here is that China has a problem. I mean, because of the COVID numbers and all that, right? I mean, ASEAN, you know, people will travel. And, you know, we all are planning our trips, but the China tourist numbers will not come to Malaysia. This will affect Malaysia tremendously, but Malaysians will go out and spend. Those going to London, the T20, London, Paris, New York kind of people, Italy, they will go there. You know, the M40 will go to the Bali, the Phuket, and, you know, wherever their budget. The B40 probably go somewhere also, I'm sure, somewhere or another. But this is going to be a very big challenge because China is not opening up fast enough.
Because the challenge is that Malaysians will travel overseas and the spending that they've moved or shifted overseas can't be replaced, isn't it? Because our key tourism markets like China just cannot replace that.
And China is a very big market, unfortunately, even for Malaysia. And we have got the Middle East tourists, we have got the Indian tourists, we've got the ASEAN tourists. But China is big, it's really big. So we pray that they also, see 30 cases and they jump. I don't know why China has taken that kind of, maybe they know better. But hopefully something will come better out of it.
You voiced the concern of mood and sentiment weakening after Raya, and that's a very distinct possibility. But do you think inflation is going to be a big problem post-Raya? Already you are dealing with the issues of inflation. And, you know, you were quoted to also voice your frustration over these self-imposed ceiling prices, right? Especially on chicken, you were quoted, where you say, look, the 990 is the right level versus the 890 level. Do you think government here has been too heavy-handed with these price caps?
You know, we have a really caring government, seriously. They're looking at it in terms of making sure that inflation doesn't affect us too much. I mean, in that way, we are quite lucky that government, it is a caring government in that sense of the word. But we don't have the financing capacity to manage it, right? You just take cooking oil. You know, cooking oil prices are being subsidized. 5 kilo cooking oil, we are selling at 29.70. That's the control price, 5 kilo. Actual without subsidy, it should be 46 ringgit, you know. Government is subsidizing more than 55% of the cooking oil. The 1 kilo packing is $2.50. The actual price of the 1 kilo without subsidy is $9.20. Imagine the subsidy, and everybody uses cooking oil for almost everything, from your cosmetic to cooking to the butter to everything. So that subsidy is massive. It's billions of dollars. So what's going to happen? Government will need to continue because they've started something, and it's going to be a tough call because we are lucky we produce palm oil, right? So we we do get the income and we are able to subsidize it. Some countries are not that lucky. Malaysia is a very lucky country, seriously.
We definitely have weathered this situation and the supply chain crisis, and even the inflation story doesn't seem as high as the rest of the world, but the government will have to bear those public finances challenges. But from the consumer standpoint, are you seeing consumers look at the price of goods and actually walk down the ladder, buy something cheaper or even buy less? You know, do you expect that to happen when we get into this tight spot?
It's going to happen anyway, because remember, it's not only commodity prices are going up, that's one, okay? Our US exchange rate, 1 year ago, it used to be 4.09. Today is 4.36. You've got 7%. So that itself, you know, we almost import everything under the sun. I mean, if you know anything that we don't import, you know, everything that you cook, besides the cooking oil, is imported. The potatoes, the onion, the chili, everything is imported, right? So that imported inflation is going to be very high. Exchange rate, commodity prices. So purchasing power is going to be a problem because, you know, our salaries are not going up fast enough. Our productivity, I mean, you can't increase salaries just like that. That's another topic, okay? But the productivity is not going fast enough. We have massive labor shortage, right? So these are all avenues that the government has to solve quickly. Like you say, we are opening up, but we can't cater to the business. Restaurants are packed, but there are not enough waiters. Even if you go to a Maidin, you guys, hey, come on, don't you know how to run your business? You got 40 cashiers, counters, and you only open 20. Where's your brains? Come on, open up all the counters. There's long queues. But we don't have people. We don't have cashiers. We don't have packers. We don't have people.
When we see this economy or spend turn, as we many anticipate to take place after Raya, who do you think are the winners and losers in the retail side? Who will be able to survive and thrive in these challenging environments? And who do you think will eventually have to close shop?
You know, I mean, there are, of course, various aspects of who will survive. But those who have survived the last 2 years, which has been really, really bad, I think they're going to survive because they made through these 2 years, unless another next 6 months or 9 months, you know, they could be ready to fall and they haven't fallen yet. Otherwise, people who have survived because we see only better things can happen. Only better things can happen. The main thing here is that the government has to act fast. I mean, let's take labor shortage, right? Indonesia bans palm oil and the minister says, we will supply to the world. Ask the industry, there's no labor there. We have 100,000 labor shortages. We will supply the world, but where are the people to supply? We already can't supply anymore. So government makes statements, right? But there are no people working. And they've been asking, all of us have been asking for labor, for workers, foreign workers, for 2 years. And we still, nobody's got an approval yet. Maybe 1% has got approval.
And we're going to have the conversation about the challenges that the retailers are facing across the country, including labor, after this break on The Breakfast Grill. I'm in conversation with Datuk Wira Amir Maidin, MD of Maidin Mohamad Holdings Berhad. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. On The Breakfast Grill, we have with us Datuk Wira Amir Maidin, MD of Maidin Mohamad Holdings Berhad, President of the Bumiputra Retailers Organization, as well as advisor to the Federation of Malaysian Business Association. He's in a hot seat as we earlier had a discussion about retail trends in Malaysia after 2 years in the pandemic. Now, let's shift our attention to cost. Early on, you were already alluding to the frustration of getting labor and resources and manpower in Malaysia. We've had this conversation many times, you know, where we talked about it's so hard to get younger Malaysians to be in the wholesale retail trade. So really the answer is to get foreign labor. Why is it taken the government so long to get this much needed manpower into the country?
You know what? Only the government knows why they're taking that long. Because this has been highlighted for the last 2 years. It's not something that suddenly we are asking for people, right? Last 2 years. And now we're opening up the economy and there's a massive shortage. Everybody has 30 to 40% shortage. And we can't supply goods. So this affects business. It's time to do business. And we cut hours. You know, we say, oh, we will close early. And even restaurants nowadays, they close early. Or they even take off days, imagine. Unimaginable restaurants want to close, you know. But they just don't have the people. So they can't expand. So the government, a right-thinking government, will have to make a decision. We know that the locals are not going to work for this kind of job. So let's accept the fact. Increasing salaries from 1,200 to 1,500 will not make it. We are paying 3,000 ringgit a month for people to work in our warehouses. We can't get local labor. They don't want to do that kind of work. We have no openings in the office. being paid 1,200, 1,500. Offices are full.
So you're actually saying this whole idea of minimum wage, 1,200 to 1,500, doesn't have any impact at all on the retail trade, isn't it? Because you already had to pay a lot to meet the shortages here.
You have been paying more than 1,200, 1,500. And I mean, there are different parts of working, right? All right. Although this 1,200 to 1,500 will cost even Maidin more than $22 million a year. It's going to cost us extra $2 million, right? But the main thing here is that labor shortage will not be addressed, okay? Mm. We do need to increase salaries. I'm not saying we should not, because you know what? We have been always underpaying. And we can always compare what I used to earn 30 years ago and what people earn now. It is horrible that salaries actually should have been now. About that 1,002 actually should be $5,000 to $6,000 now. Mm. If you compare with US, what you're earning there, right? So we have been holding back,
suppressing it
so much, and it affects us, right? It affects the whole economy. So the main thing is we should let wages go up slowly but surely, but don't do a 1,200 to 1,500 immediately, you know. I mean, let's go 1,200 to 1,300, 6 months, 1,300, so businesses can adjust. Prices can go up slowly.
Why has the government not consulted you about this implementation plan? It sounds very knee-jerk. It sounds very populist. Rather than talking to industry to talk about it in a more thoughtful and phased way.
You know, but that's the government we have at the moment, right? They are making decisions. I don't know why they're not. I don't know who they're consulting, seriously. Because before they say, also, we have already said this before. Of course, none of us will say increase wages. I am one of the ones who says, please increase wages. You know, because I think the B40 need the extra money. And the money comes back in the economy, actually. You know, I mean, people get 1,200 to 1,500, the 300 ringgit. I hope they come and spend in Maidin, you know, or where else they spend. It helps the economy. But let's do it surely, slowly and surely. You know? But that is not going to solve the labor shortage, because it's the government's job to make sure that we match skills and availability of jobs.
So MOU with Indonesia signed about a month ago. Why have we not seen any progress there?
Ha, ha, ha. They say this document not done, this is not done. They say 10,000 maids were supposed to come, you know, after Raya. And just last week I said, might not be even be three, four months later. Okay? So you have a lot of illegal refugees. We have got refugees, we have got illegal working. And I hope the government doesn't enforce on this illegal currently, because then we have a double whammy situation. Let's get the labor in, then let's get rid of all the illegal. Seriously, we really have to get rid of this illegal, because they're also doing and taking up businesses that belong to the locals, seriously.
When I listen to you, you meld the contradictions of government is caring, but at the same time, government is incompetent in not being able to do some of these basic things. How do you, as a business owner, and also in so many of these associations, decide really whether government should play a role, right? Or just rely on your own destiny to drive things forward?
You know, I say government is caring because at least it's taking care of the B40, or at least it's trying to win votes, to put it bluntly, to win votes. I think that is what the current government, for that matter, I think many governments all over the world are becoming that, unfortunately, you know. But we have a very good civil service. We actually have a very good civil service. I think the civil service should run the country properly and advise the government and put their foot down and say, we cannot be doing this forever. I mean, we have a very good finance minister. We have civil service everywhere. They should say, this is what we should be doing and not go for popular votes. Because at the end of the day, our children are going to suffer, you know.
I mean, you're just sacrificing the long term for the short term.
We have to do this. And you know what? This is a very good time, because we have suffered. We have suffered. So let's not go ahead and say, hey, we're okay now. I mean, government is very good to say, everything is okay. Don't worry, you know.
But it's not in reality.
But the reality down there is bad. The poor are really poor. The poor are really poor. But we have a lot of opportunities because of the war, the Ukraine war, Russia, all that. Malaysia is blessed, seriously. Mm. Not with only commodities, but the people, factories will come to Malaysia to open up, because it is a bit more stable. We don't just support anybody. Mm. I mean, we didn't blindly support US, fortunately. I mean, a war is the wrong thing, but, you know, let's not get into that. That's another big thing. So I think it's very important that the government take heed, open up the economy faster, get the workers in, get the right incentive there, right, so that the country can grow. We have massive opportunities.
I guess then as an entrepreneur now, when you started off MyDin decades ago, sorry to betray your age here, what's your advice then for entrepreneurs who want to set up business now? Do you recommend people to get into business now, or especially in the business of retail, or do you think, oh, look at this environment and ecosystem, better not, just get a proper salary job? What's your advice? You know, because when you started off, you were willing to take the risk, you saw the growing opportunities here, and while it is a lucky country to a certain extent, would you offer the same advice to basically get into business?
You want to make money, it's in business, lah, you know, all right? Okay. And my late father always said that when there are bigger challenges, this is the time to make money. And remember, during the COVID, the last 2 years, a lot of people have been wiped off. People have been wiped off, but people with experience. So the government actually should pick up those people that are being wiped off and help them come up, because let's not lose that experience. They are not here because of the COVID situation, which is not because of their bad management, you see. This is something that nobody could foresee. But the main thing here is that the government should give support for these entrepreneurs, not necessarily new entrepreneurs, not necessarily new, those who are already there.
Landlords, have they been helpful in facilitating the recovery, or have they in such a dire position as well that they're putting pressure on the retailers and smaller businesses?
No, we have two kinds of landlords. Corporate landlords, they don't have a heart, right? They're big boys. Big boys, they probably never suffered. And they got their KPI. They say, I don't care. You probably been making money the last 10 years. Where's all that money? You got to pay me rental. I don't care. I got my KPI to meet. Squeezing those tenants, and many friends of mine, you know, who have come back to us and saying that, what are we to do? Okay. A widow has a better heart. I've learned ladies, you know, who said, we understand, it's tough. It's okay. I've been with you for 20 years. I'm sure I can, you know, work another 6-9 months. And we work together. So bigger landlords, REITs, banks have not been so kind. Some are, I don't want to put a blanket thing. Some are, but many are not. Many are not. Mm. So it's very unfortunate that we have this, the world of human without hearts. If you help us when we are down, of course, we'll remember you when we come up. So I find this is the main thing in this COVID that you have found. I mean, they always say in times like this that you know who are your friends. And I have suppliers who have supplied me goods even I didn't pay them money. Mm. And I got some big MNCs that you're one day late. They say, sorry, boy, you're one day late, no goods for you tomorrow. You know, this is the sad part. But then you learn. Then you know who are your friends. And you learn reality. Then you see, this is the real world. That these are not your real buddies, you know. End of the day, it's your family who supports you and your good friends. So end of the day, you better have a strong family and real good friends.
We enter the Raya season where we start reconnecting with families and friends. How has the pandemic changed your perspective in how you celebrate Raya? How more meaningful is it for you celebrating this Raya, this round?
I think for everybody, they miss their family. And I think the value of family has gone up. You know, I mean, you know, Malaysians are, like I say, always blessed. We have a very strong family network. We're not like the Western countries. We leave our old aging grandmother at old folks' home. I mean, there are some reasons for doing that also, but we don't. Normally, our parents stay with us. Even my age mother, 86, 88, stays with me, you know. Dementia, yes or no, she forgets everything under the sun, but she stays with me. And I think many of us do that. And we realize the importance of family, the strength of family and the support of the family. I think COVID has done a lot of good things to a lot of us. Make us also go back to basics. Mm. Go back to basics. And of course, many have gone online, which is another headache, you know. But that also tells us that there's business online.
Opportunity.
And I always felt that, you know, I mean, times like this, you really learn, you cut costs. You suddenly realize that you can actually cut costs. And you actually get loyal staff, because the staff remember that we didn't fire them. And now they are loyal to us because they say, hey, I wasn't fired, you know. We didn't give any increment, but we never fired anybody. And they're still with us. And of course, this year, we're finally going to give you an increment.
Well, very thoughtful reflections. Thank you very much, Dato' Wira. Really appreciate the time you have on The Breakfast Grill with me, Dato' Wira Amir Maidin, MD of Maidin Mohamad Holdings, as we discuss how the retail sector has recovered following the reopening of our economy. I'm Philip C., BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.